Srila Madhavendra Puri, actually very important, most important on the calendar and leading to the appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which is in 2 days approximately. And again, if we look at the calendar, you see all the personalities appearing before the appearance of Mahaprabhu. It's noteworthy. It's what is Guru Varga? Oh, Krishna Kanta Didi Ki. We should not forget Krishna Kanta and all of her servants. There's Radha Kanta and Krishna Kanta. Radha Kanta, what is that verse? The one that ends in Radha Kanta on the most of the day. Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam. No, that's another one. What is it? Then Radha Kanta. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta. So I'm saying there's Radha Kanta and Krishna Kanta. All those names are extraordinarily beautiful. And we can say in a sense because of Madhavendra Puri that these things gradually, the highest sort of expression of divinity becomes known. Because we would have to say, in general, obviously, we favor theism, but there's a wide variety of theistic expression. And see, it's very natural for human beings to have some sense about divinity. And for that cat to come crying at this time, like what is he, wait all day and go, okay, now I will make my entrance. Say, I am crying for Krishna also. I understand. Jalaja Navalakani Stavra Lakavingshati. Have to evolve to human to participate more fully, but Shivananda Sen had mercy on a dog, entered Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Anything's possible. It's actually a hallmark of human civilization by a particular style of analysis, this natural intuitive sense of, an other, but with a capital O, meaning divinity, God, the Supreme. And then there's all different types of expressions of that tendency, from very primitive type things that in the modern world people sometimes they appreciate tribal peoples or native peoples, this reverence they have for nature and sort of divinity in the background. And there's something there. But then there's the progressive development of theism and theistic expression. Right? They're saying, Vasudev Sarvam Iti Samahatma. It says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate. Bahunam Janmanam Ante means, after many, many births, many, many lifetimes, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadite. One who's really has the proper type of gyan, not gyan in the ordinary sense, or even vigyan in the general transcendental sense, but what Guru Maharaj called Prakrishta Gyan or Pragyan. What are they? They realize Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudulabaha. Such a Mahatma, great soul, is very rare to come to the understanding of Krishna conception. And what is Krishna conception? Proper means, like Vaikuntha, Lakshmi and Narayan. Vasudev means from a distance, Krishna, then focused on Krishna. But as one approaches Krishna, it goes nearer, then we see the Lord in the company of his potency, Shaktiman and Shakti. This is Bhagavan proper. Bhagavatam said this, there's only one thing to be understood. Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam. Advaya gyan means there's only really one thing to be known. That means God. Right? I'm told sometimes, Einstein, he's always trying to understand that one thing by which everything becomes known, essentially. His mistress told, like, you should keep a notebook for all your ideas. She noticed he didn't have a notebook. So she suggested, keep a notebook and write all your ideas down. He said, I don't need a notebook. I only have one idea. And I keep thinking about that one idea repeatedly from all different angles. I'm trying to and what is that? In the words of the language of the Upanishads, Yasmin vigyate sarvam eva vigyatam bhavati. Try to know the one thing upon knowing which everything becomes known. He is trying in his way. The Upanishads, they're telling us in another way. There's another path to that. That's beyond nayamatma, pravachaneno, namedaya na, bahuna srutena. Tam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tushyaisha atma vivrinute tanum svam. Saying it's not intellectualism. Because people say, well, the Upanishads, they're very intellectual in their presentation. Maybe in their style and their language, but what they're saying is intellectualism will not deliver this to you. You won't get it by having a genius mind, a genius intellect. Why? Because he reveals himself to whom, through whom he chooses. As Guru Maharaj said in response to the man saying, if the finite can know the infinite, it's not infinite. And Guru Maharaj said, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, he's not infinite. And it's not just a clever answer. It gives us great hope and optimism when we realize our own shortcomings or failures or lack of capacity. I mean, how, we're supposed to just figure this out on our own, right? Whether there's God, not God, how to understand this, that, figure everything. Now you're back to data transfer, knowledge transfer, information, the cultivation of knowledge, etc. Which, in one sense, it's a fine thing. It's another thing that distinguishes human civilization is the culture of knowledge. That's not done in other species. There's instinct and other types of, I forget the word, but it means things they learn by living or going generation to generation. If there are any evolutionary biologists in the crowd tonight, they can supply that term. That's not what we mean when we say human beings engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. So in Rupa Shiksha, Mahaprabhu says, Koti Karmanishta Madhye Ek Jnani Shrestha. That one Jnani proper is Shrestha, better than what? Koti Karmi. Than 10 million karmis. And it's not a value judgment, but some of them are really nice people. That's not what it's saying. It's saying to be in this position of understanding is better than that. Right? But then what is, and then goes further, then forget about, and out of many jnanis, one mukta, then koti mukta durlabh madhye ek Krishna Bhakta. So out of so many jnanis, one may figure this out and become liberated from negative influence. Still, they've not entered the positive domain. So it says, Koti Mukta Durlabhmadye, and out of 10 million liberated souls, Ek Krishna Bhakta. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. Prasanta dulaba kotish vapi mahamune. Same thing is iterated in the Bhagavatam. So that one thing to be known, Bhagavatam says, but in three ways. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. Brahma, it's all-accommodating aspect, Paramatma, all-permeating, still not intimate, not personal, really, in the true sense. Then Bhagavan, right? And Bhagavan beginning with Lakshmi and Narayan of Vaikuntha. Here there's some possibility of Rasa, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya Madhura in Vaikuntha, Shanta Dasya, and a little bit of Sakya. Neutrality, servitorship, and friendship in the case of old, long-time servitors, there's some element of friendship there. So 2.5. But then go to Ayodhya, where there's birth, there's no birth in Vaikuntha, birth, mother, father, children. So that begins in Ayodhya, in Ramlila. And there are mother, father, brothers, and conjugal, wife, Sita Devi. Remember, Vaikunthir Prithivyari Sakala Chinmoy. This is all, it's all Chinmoy. Everything in the spiritual world is Chinmoy. The soil is Chinmoy. What does speak of the people walking on Chinmoy soil? Right? That's why all the limitations that we offer up on the basis of our experience of conditional existence, they don't apply. Right? The limitations of the conditioned world, they don't. You can't impose them on the Vaikuntha world. Vaikuntha means without limitation. So how far something is from here or there, what did Gurudev tell Jadarna and Marjava? Brajagopis, they're, you know, they're pining and separation. Krishna's in Mathura. And he said something once then, like, well, what? It's so close. Why didn't they go? And so, and Gurudev was joking, saying about taking a taxi or go to Vrindavan, Mathura. Not like that. It's not GPS, that type of location. That's only possible here. This is the world of measurement, where we can say India is this far away from Thailand, is this far away from Russia, America, China, those kind of things. In the conscious world, these type of limitations don't exist. Right? Everything is spirit, is of a nature of not only consciousness, but consciousness enriched with dedicating tendency. And that's what distinguishes one plane from another. The difference between Vaikuntha and Ayodhya is a type of dedication, not measurable distance. Only the great acharyas like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they're measuring on a devotional scale in terms of degree of dedication and self-sacrificing tendency. So it's, and all of it is seva. To be Krishna's friend is a particular type of seva or service. It's not a position of enjoyment as we conventionally conceive of what enjoyment is. But it means someone has evolved to the point of where they can ignore Krishna's divinity and deal with him like an equal. That in itself is inconceivable. So that verse, Srila Prabhupada likes so much, itam sukham brahma sukhanubhutya dasam gatanam paradevatena mayasritanam something, Dari Keva. Sakyam Brija Vijahru Krita Punya Punya. Hearing about this, just get about Krishna's friends, just Krishna's relationship with his friends. Parikit Maharaj is saying, what did they do? They're all liberated souls. The soil of Vrindavan is liberated. The bees, the insects, they're all liberated souls. So and the birds in the trees are liberated souls. The trees are liberated souls. And funny, you know, mukta, it also means pearl, right? In Sanskrit. Mukta means liberated soul, also means pearl. So there are pastimes. I mean, we can say the mukta, the pearls, are also mukta. They're liberated. So Parikit Maharaj, he's asking Sukadeva Goswami, what did they do? Krita punya, punya means, what sort of punya did they execute to achieve this position with this level of intimacy? Well, it's not punya in the ordinary sense. The Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur saying, krita punya rasi, and Guru Maharaj said, sukritivan. Because Prabhupada translated as heaps of pious activities. But it doesn't mean like just doing nice things or what is right in the world. That kind of thing. Janmakoti sukritayar nalabhyate. That type of sukrit, you won't get this from that. Only from someone who in a sense is, you know, infected with love of Krishna. They can infect others. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. That's at the heart of Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Krishna's pastimes. Coming in connection with the devotee of Krishna, it's my association with sadhu sangha satovare, superior, substantial devotees, that is the most infectious, to use a word, in a good sense. Just like in the world, when somebody's infected with some, what are those diseases called that are like super, the worst ones? I can't think of, huh? Contagious disease. Right? Then everyone has to stay away from them. Right? They put them in quarantine. Say, because just, and you say, but no, I just walked into the room. And they go, you got it. You might have it. We have to, you know, scan you. Put the people in the hazmat suits come in, you know, and they're spraying that person. No, but I just looked at the guy. You could have it. So this is like that. But even, so like, the glance, the associates of Nityananda Prabhu, if some of them glanced upon somebody, the people were like infused with Krishna prema. You say, you know, what is Vaishnava Uchista? He's saying, oh, I took the remnants of the Vaishnava. Oh, you've got it now. Now you're infected. Right? I only gave a donation. Oh, that's it. I just opened the door. That's how it happens. It starts like that. Then before you know it, you know, like that man in Puri, saw Saraswati Thakur, he's like a very wealthy man, and he's like giving his shastanga dandavats like in a mud puddle. Because he's not like, he's a millionaire, you know, crore putties. I have nothing. I'm giving myself. And he like lay down in like a mud puddle. That's a little extreme. But anyway, that's why this is so important. Through association, you get infected with Krishna consciousness. That Gadadhar Das asking the Qazi to chant Krishna Nam. He was Radharani's kanti, we always talk about Radharani's bhav, the kanti, the luster, halo of Radharani, and he's very often, even in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, in the mood of a Brajagopi, but he asked the Kaji, the Muslim, local Muslim ruler, to chant Krishna Nam. Are you saying, how can I help you? Chant the name of Krishna. He said, why should I chant the name of Krishna? I'm a Muslim. He goes, oh, already you've taken Hare Krishna. Yeah. So, anyway, it's a particular type of seva. They can do seva of being Krishna's friend. And Puri Maharaj is saying, this is unbelievable. What do they do for that? So in Ayodhya, Sita, she's the wife of Ramachandra. That's so wonderful and inconceivable. But in Ram Leela, Ek Putni, even though so many kings, I mean, Vedic kings, we read in these, they have thousands of wives. Hundreds, thousands. It's not, I mean, in all the Puranic literature, you read about that all the time, but not Ramachandra. Ek Putni, one wife. Right? But so people from a secular point of view, they go, we like that. You know, and the women are saying, we like that too. No one wants to be wife number four, you know. It's like being in a Chinese movie. But so they're saying, but from a devotional point of view, they'll say, well, this is a type of seva, as much as friendship is seva, that's also seva. Oh, restricted to one. So there's some disappointment in the hearts of some devotees that's limited there. Namely, the Dandakaranya rishis. When they see Ramachandra, one thing we should remember also as Krishna-loving people, as you know, Ramachandra is Krishna. It's Krishna showing himself in a particular way. He's also unique. I mean, this is the achintya aspect of Krishna. You know, what is it? Advaitam, achudam, anadim, ananta, rupam, adyam, purana, purana, purusham, navayovinam, cha. Vedesu, durlabam, adurlabam, atma, bhakto, and Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabi Kala Nijarupa. It's all these different forms. So we're told this cat is determined. And that determination is good. When they look like, I have something, there's Prakash and Vilas. Yeah. When they look just like Krishna, that's Prakash. But Vilas Vigrahas, they look different. So, like Balaram looks different than Krishna. Ramachandra looks different than Krishna. Vishnu, they look similar. But anyway, so the Dandakaranya rishis, they see Ramachandra and he's so extraordinarily beautiful, and it's a little bit inconceivable, but it's awakening these Madhura-type sentiments. They're not expressing that, but it's like some sort of a spiritual aspiration. So even the Yajna Sitas, after Sita gets banished, which is unthinkable, it's actually unspeakable practically, but it's meant to tear your heart apart, you know, and release some higher spiritual substance. Ramachandra still has to do yajnas, and he needs his wife to do the yajna. So they make yajna sitas. And the yajna sitas are Chinmoya. They express their appreciation of Ramachandra, and he's still like, even the yajna sitas, you know. And he's telling them, and other places to personify Vedas, the Veda Stutis, and certain other aspiring gopis. When I come as Krishna, then the rasa will be expanded so much, everyone will be accommodated with this sweet rasa. So, but here, Ram Leela is not like that. Ek Patni. No? So it goes from Ayodhya, and we're talking about spiritual level and analysis, to where's next? Where is the wives expanded to include thousands? But Dwaraka, 16,108 queens. And then Mathura, Vrindavan, and Paragya, and all. It's a very wonderful thing. So we talk. There's the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha. These are all come from Radharani. Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, the Mahishi Gan and Dwaraka, the queens of Dwaraka, and the Brajagopis. And the highest are the gopis, are the simplest, which is interesting too. And the supreme Brajagopi, Srimati Radharani. And Madhavendra Puri, he's the first person to express the deep pain of separation from the heart of Srimati Radharani, which will form the internal basis of the ecstatic emotional interior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it comes at the last point of his life. Before that, he's traveling around India. And, you know, what do we mean by India? You know, Bharat Bhumi, this place where everywhere is sacred, actually. There are holy places in India, like super holy places. Actually, the whole place is holy. There's no place in India that's not holy, actually. And you can go beyond the borders of India. It might even come as far as here, to be truthful, if you think about the ancient. So, but Madhavendra Puri, he's always absorbed in Krishna Prem. He's like a Krishna Prem Pur, a city, a pur of Krishna Prem. And his connection is with the Madhva Sampradaya, Brahma, Madhva Sampradaya. But Guru Maharaj wrote an article once called The Pontifical Position of Madhavendra Puri. The bridge between the Madhva Sampradaya and the Gaudiya Sampradaya comes from Madhavendra Puri. So when he's traveling around, he also visits the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata early on with his entourage of sannyasis and followers. Because later when one of his disciples is Rangapuri, who are the disciples of Madhavendra Puri? Like they say, sometimes they say you can know a guru by who his disciples are. His disciples are like Advaita, Paramananda Puri, something, Nityananda, Rangapuri, who else? Ishwara Puri. It goes on. Yeah. So when Mahaprabhu meets Rangapuri in South India, and they understand the connection, Rangapuri said to him, when I was with Madhavendra Puri, we were at the house of one Jagannath Mishra, and his wife, Sachi Mata, she made this mocha ganta that was unbelievable, and that was my mom. So, it's interesting from many points of view. Shows how important prasadam is also. That's how they're meeting. Saying the mocha ganta, the banana flour, special banana flour preparation that she made. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes songs about it. It's not an ordinary thing by any sort of analysis. Some divine substance. And just as a side note, Srila Gurudev said that Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, his sister, Bhavatarini Didi Pishima, he said, her mocha ganta, he said, to me, I think, tastes the most similar to Sachi Mata's. Krishna consciousness, after all, is about taste, the ultimate taste, the ultimate expression of taste. So that Madhavendra Puri, we're told he travels around, he's always taking the name of Krishna in the upper world, the internal world, rendering service there, and he doesn't ask anything from anyone. If some people see him, they might like send something, and then he takes something. Otherwise, he fasts. He's so beyond it all. There's no consideration for him. He's relishing. He's living off some internal nectarine substance. We can say that's what's nourishing his existence. And then he makes it to Govardhan. He's in Govardhan, and there's Govinda Kunda. He's thinking about these pastimes of Krishna, Govardhanadari, Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And he's in his state of, never-ending ecstasy. But some ladies in the town, they notice him that he doesn't eat anything, he's not even drinking water. And they get one local Gopal Balak, a cowherd boy, say, give that sannyasi, that Puri Maharaj, give him, they send a little pot of milk. So this boy shows up and says, oh, see, you're here, you're not taking anything. And said, I'm from the nearby village. And the Gopal Balak says that, actually, in my zone here, there are no upavasis, nobody fasts. So some lady, they gave me this milk I'm giving to you, you take that, I'll be back. I have to take care of the cows, it's getting close to milking time. And Madhavendrapuri, he drinks the milk, cleans on the pot. And then later that evening, he's sleeping and dreaming, and then the Gopal Balak appears before him. It's Krishna, and he says, and leads him to a place in the forest, and says, actually, I've been here, in the fort for a long time. When the Muslim invasion, things were getting dangerous, so a pujari hid me here in the bush. I've been here for some time. I've been waiting for you. And he tells, if you take me out of there, and then there's some idea of making a little temple. So Madhavendra Puri awakens, and first he's in ecstasy, but he's a lamenting type ecstasy. He's saying, oh my, Krishna himself came and gave me this milk, and I couldn't recognize him. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, Saraswati Thakur said this one disciple, Bhagavad Janananda, Bhaktivinoda, because he came for a short time and he left the world. And Saraswati Thakur was crying uncontrollably, saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came before me and I could not recognize him. So, but even that sort of expression is a type of recognition from the higher section. So Madhavendra Puri, he realized this good fortune, and that deity was the deity of Vajra, the grandson of Krishna, from an ancient time, and he's Govardhanadari, lifting the Govardhan Hill. So Madhavendra Puri, he approaches the local people, tells them about his dream, asks for some help with, machetes and whatever else they have. They go into the forest, and they find they're covered in all the brush and everything, the Gopal deity. And then they clean him as far as possible. Then they realize he's very heavy. They get some big, strong men. They carry the deity back. They build little put a little like stone slab, temporary temple on the Govardhan. And they have an Abhishek. And they're with the Panchagavya, the Panchamritam, they're bathing the deity, and his natural luster is returning, and he's very beautiful. And they have this so-called Anakut festival where they're offering mounds of prasadam, of different types of prasadam. And actually, the word mound is a like Indian Sanskrit type word. It has a numerical weight value. I forget exactly how much it is. But in English, it's just come to mean a mound, a little thing that looks like a small mountain or a mound. So they're offering mounds of prasadam to Gopal. And word spreads about this miraculous event to all the villages. So everybody's volunteering from their village to do like the Anakut for one. So they have this like all the time. And then very wealthy people want to build a temple and then create a storehouse. And they're giving everything to Gopal, and just everybody's super happy. And they keep having this Anakut ceremony repeatedly for like 2 years. We're told Madhavendra Puri, still, he's on the, at the end of the day, he drinks his milk. You know. But he's very pleased to see how nicely Gopal is being served. He brings some Bengali Brahmins. See, even Madhavendra Puri had to bring in some. You know. He does. He brings in 2 Bengali Brahmins to do the puja. And everything's going very well. And then Gopal appears again in a dream and says, actually, everything's going really well, but my body is still very hot. Even after the Abhishek and all these, still there's so much heat. Long time I've been there. So I need you to get chandan. And, you know, what is it? Kharpur, camphor. And that will reduce my body temperature and have a very nice cooling effect. And that chandan, that's in Puri. So then Madhavendra Puri, now he's very happy to get this, even though he's very old, he's very happy to get this seva. He's not thinking that some service has come to me that's inconvenient, I'm old, I'll have to suffer some. No, he's just ecstatic to have this service opportunity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his songs that whatever inconvenience or suffering or unhappiness, whatever you want to call it, that accompanies executing a particular type of seva, he said, that's my happiness. You know, the higher devotees are thinking like that. And we think of Krishna, why not give this, appear in the dream to some like young, fit, no, the elderly, you know, that's the person who Krishna, like Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he leaves India in his late 70s and goes on the boat for 30 days to America to start the Krishna consciousness movement in the Western world. It's Krishna Leela. Krishna Leela is always like that. Breaks the stereotype. As Guru Maharaj might say, form breaker. What we expect? No, don't hold on to some stereotypical view, what you think is spiritual or the spiritual narrative or the spiritual person or any such thing. Krishna will contradict that and show you something new, if you're fortunate. So he goes, and we're told on his way there, he goes to the village Remuna, and there's this beautiful deity there named Gopinath, and he's taken by the beauty of the deity. And also, like servitors, they go temple to temple. He sees what they're offering to the deity. And everyone wants to see, oh, they make some special thing. We see that in temples. And they have some special thing they make for their deity. And he sees here, there's this kheer that they make. And really, I mean, how would you translate kheer? It's like condensed milk, because sometimes they write something else. That's what it really is. It's like condensed milk. Very, I mean, it's kheer, but it would be similar to condensed milk, you could say. So hearing about that and seeing that, he's saying, oh, I wonder how they do this. That would be nice to offer the Gopal when we return. But then after a while, he's thinking, And this gives a key, the insight to the thinking of devotees. This is the highest devotee, and he's saying, he's Atma Samiksha, examining himself and his motives, and he's thinking, oh, yes, in the name of serving Gopal, I'm telling them, I want to taste this kheer and enjoy it. But I'm saying, no, just for Gopal, that's why. And then I'll see, and he's thinking, you know, this is the kind of man I am. He's ashamed of himself. After the arati, he, like, with head down, he's disgusted with himself. The higher devotees, they're examining themselves with this sort of intense scrutiny. That's why they're Shuddha Bhaktas of the highest, of the higher order. And then the night comes, he like chants to the point where he's falling asleep, and the pujari is sleeping, and the deity Gopinath appears to the pujari. It says, actually, this Puri, this Madhava Puri, he's a great devotee of mine. And for him, I stole the kheer offering this evening, and I have one pot. It's like under my dhoti. So you wake up, go take that pot of kheer from under my dhoti and go give it to this sannyasi, Madhavapuri. And upon the Yamipuja, he wakes up, and they always like clean themselves first and, you know, make a little noise before you don't ever approach the deity in the dark and always announce your arrival. And he and looks and sees, like, lifts up the dhoti, there's a pot of kheer. You know, and Krishna, as usual, Tribhanga Lalitam. And so he goes with the pot of kheer, like crying out, Madhavapuri, Madhavapuri, there's a sannyasi, Madhavapuri. Gopinath has stolen the kheer for you. Madhavapuri, waking up, someone's calling his name and brings the pot of kheer. And we can understand that pujari is also thinking, who is this person that Gopinath personally stole kheer for him? And delivers that to Madhavendrapuri, and he relishes the kheer to the point of where he breaks the pot, and he's carrying the pot and his cloth, and every day he'll take like a little piece of the clay pot and he's eating that. That's how much he's relishing this. Right. But at the same time, the pratishta, the name and fame that the Kirchor, now the deity has a name, a new name, Kirchor Gopinath. Before that, he's just Gopinath, which is pretty good. But now he's Kirchor Gopinath, like enhanced position, the Kir-stealing Gopinath. And for whom? This Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri leaves town in the dead of night for fear of what? Pratishta. The ultimate enemy of the aspiring servitor, name and fame, that you're a Krishna Das, that you've got Krishna Prem, the ultimate pratistha. He goes to Jagannath Puri, but people, the word has spread. And he's in a very awkward situation, but when he tells the pandas about Gopal and the dream and the chanda, and then they've heard about Kirator Gopinath, they're more than happy to oblige him. So they give him something like 30 or 40 kilos of sandalwood, chandan, that much. And then like 8 ounces of camphor, which is a lot too, because it's so light. And some papers, it's India. You know, right? Stamping paper. It's like buying something at the Kari Bhavan. You go like, can I have? And then they go, no. You know, here, they give you like a piece of paper or something. Then you go to another guy, like, look, okay. Then you pay them. Then they stamp that paper. Then you go to another place. And then they're like looking at that paper, looking at you. You know, I was just over there. I just pay the. You know, like, come on, I'm the only guy in the store. You know. Then it's paid for. Then it's like the exit where the it's there. Like, so they give Madhavendra Puri the paperwork. You know, so when he goes to the border, they go, all right, that's a lot of chandan you're carrying there. I have some documents. Yeah. A likely story, Gopal. But we're talking, he's carrying, he has someone with him, I think, but still, 80 pounds, 40 kilos of chandan. But happily, he's couldn't be happier. And goes back to Raymuna on his way to take all the gopi the chandan and the karpur to Gopal. And in Raymuna, they've like come with some gear. Then again, third time, Gopal appears in the dream. And Gopal is saying, actually, Gopinath and I are the same. Like that Ananda Chant, Nijarupateya Kalabi, Brahma Sangita. We're the same. So if you put all the chandan and the camphor on Gopinath, I'll get relief. But really, Krishna is saying like, why he'll have to carry all this? He wants to just glorify his devotee. Actually, that's the point. Krishna wants to glorify devotion. So then Madhavendra Puri tells Gopinath's servitors about, they're really happy. Now Gopinath will get all the chandana. So and Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami, he liked to quote some slokas of Madhavendra Puri. And this one he had on his veranda at the disappearance times, like on his wall. It begins Sandhya Vadana, some Bhadra Boshnana Tubhyam, something like, I forget it now, but. Where Madhavendra Puri, he's saying, toward the end, he's saying like, forgive me, I'm no longer doing like, you know, the sandhya vandana, the prayers you're to offer at the different sandhyas or junctures and the gayatris and the this. I mean, sometimes Guru, he'd say this many different ways, but sometimes a little smiling, sometimes in a deeper, because he's lying on his disappearance bed and saying, I can't do all these things, But if you follow the prayer, what he's saying is, and I'm paraphrasing, is that what you could hope to achieve by doing all of those things, that I got. That's there too. And there's a reason you do the Sandhya Vandana, etc. He's saying, now that I have this connection with you, you'll forgive me if I don't do all those things. That's what he's saying. So to understand Vaishnavera Kriyamudra Vigyeha Nabujoy, can't understand the higher, don't try, the higher substantial devotees, what's going on internally, how they're seeing, how they're feeling. So, and just one other prayer of his was what the one Mugdam Mam Nigidanta Nitti Nipuna Brashtam or Vaidika. It ends on Govinda Padaspriham. He's saying, let others, my relatives may desert me, think I've gone mad, like I'm in, you know, pursuing Krishna consciousness. Society, maybe they say, you joined a cult. He goes through a whole list of all the things, the negatives against, by other people, against the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. And then he says, and I'll give you something that you didn't say, and what you can add to that, I haven't achieved it. Let's add that. To all the things that you accuse me of, add this one other thing, that the very thing I abandon all these other things for, I don't have it. How about that? And he's saying, but I'm not going to budge an inch from this aspiration to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. It's a very beautiful, intense prayer. That's why Guru Maharaj said, this is the measure of devotion that in the midst of apparent failure or a lack of success or adarshanam amrahatam kurotuva, Krishna not appearing to one, right, what do? Saying, if in the midst of that, you say, oh, I have no other shelter, I have no other Lord, napara. Asli shava parvatam panastumam adarshanam mamahatam karotu va yata tata va varadatu lampato mat prana natastu sareva napara. I have no other shelter. Guru Maharaj said, then you might be a devotee. Said, you might have something. Right. So Madhavendra Puri, in his final days, he's on his disappearance bed, and he's crying out in divine lamentation. And we're told, one, Ishwar Puri, who's glorified and becomes later the guru of Mahaprabhu, we can say glorified to that extreme, qualified, glorified to that extreme. He's cleansing Madhavendra and all these final days. He's unable to take care of himself. He's doing the most menial service, and he's glorified. He considers that a treasure, wealth, opportunity. Whereas when Madhavendra Puri is lamenting and expressing separation from Krishna, actually the sentiments of Srimati Radharani and separation are rising in his heart and being expressed in his final days. By his side, another disciple, this Ramachandra Puri, he's saying, what are you lamenting about? Haven't you read Bhagavad Gita? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. It says, Nasochati Nakankshati. Someone on the Brahma Bhuta platform, spiritual, realized person, Nasochati Nakankshati. They're not lamenting or hankering for anything. What are you crying for? He thinks this is ordinary lamentation, not the heart, deep core expression of separation from Krishna, which is the ultimate goal. Right? So Madhavendra tells me, like, get away from me, you sinful rascal. If I leave the world, seeing someone like you, I'll be ruined. So he is cast off. But we see when Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamritam, after he takes sannyas, he goes to Remuna. It's one of the first places he stops along the way. And he's telling these glories of Madhavendra Puri to Nityananda Prabhu and the others. There's four there. Mahaprabhu's telling them and saying, I heard, who did you hear this from? Ishwara Puri, his spiritual master, his connection. Madhavendra Puri Sambandha Darajani. Guru Maharaj like to quote that. When the Sanodiya Brahman and Mahaprabhu, they see each other and these different types of something, he's saying, Madhavendra Puri Sambandha Darajani. When we see this type of ecstatic expression, there must be connection with Madhavendra Puri, who's the seed of the Bhakti Lata Kalpataru, the seed of the Chaitanya tree. First sprout is from the heart of Madhavendra Puri. So when Mahaprabhu tells all of this story, it's why, and it's critically placed. It's in Madhya Leela chapter 4. So it's critically placed. And then he says to Nityananda, what do you think about him and his, is there anyone who can compare to him? And Nityananda Prabhu, oh, this type of devotion, this is the highest, the best. They're all so happy to hear this. And what comes at the end? So they're saying, why is this particular pastime first? And we're told, Madhya 1, 2, there's telling you what is the essence of Mahaprabhu, about Radha Bhava, Duty, Subalita. What's the Chaitanya Charitamritam all about? Radha Bhav, the internal, ecstatic, emotional interior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Bhav, expressing the sentiments of her heart. Right? Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidya Shobana Eva Svadyo Inadbhuta Madhurima. Kidrisham va madhya sokyam chasya maranubhavata kidrisham beti lobha tadbhavadya samajani sachi garba sindo harindu. What Mahaprabhu wants to experience, Radha Pranaya Mahima, the greatness of the love of Radharani that she alone possesses, that means Mahabhav. Ashvadya, he wants to taste that, this, the sweetness of Krishna as she relishes that. And the tadbhav, her bhav, heart. That, and says, samajani sachi garva sindho harindu. That's why he appeared in the and risen from the womb, like a moon rising from the womb of Sachi Mata. So then Mahaprabhu says, and this verse that comes from the mouth of Madhavendra Puri, it is the Kostuba Mani of Rasakavya. The Kostuba gem is the most extraordinary gem, the one that's only found with Krishna. And we can say by extension Vishnu. But Kostuba Mani means the ultimate gem. It's of Rasakavya, of rasa poetry. And what comes from his heart at that time, he says, and it's at, and it comes originally from the mouth of Radharani, but then through the heart of Madhavendra Puri, and that's where this sort of expression, the heart of Mahaprabhu's movement comes. And Kaviraj Goswami, there's not a fourth person to taste it, so Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, Mahaprabhu. But it mean, that means by extension, the Rupa Nuga line, Mahaprabhu. Anyway, and he says, Ayi Dina Dayadranata He Maturanata Kadava Lakshase Hridayam Todaloka Kataram Dvaita Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. And all we can do is hearingness, we can't, I mean, Guru Maharaj can explain it, and he only told some essence, the Srila Gurudev. Gurudev told me one or two things about it. It's not the kind of thing, but it's saying, and then it says, remember the past of the sandalwood. What does it say at the end? Rubbing this sloka, the way like you rub sandalwood, and what happens? A little comes, right? And then what you keep doing, more and more, and then there's a pile of sandalwood paste in time. It doesn't come so quickly, you know, after some time. That says, by continually considering what's being expressed here, little something coming, more. But when Mahaprabhu would hear it, he would lose control. All the different types, asta, sattvika, vikar, ecstatic symptoms would be moving on his body in waves. And he couldn't even say the whole sloka. He would say, Aideen, Aideen. Dina, that saying, you know, we're fallen. Gurudev told me the two keys are Deen and Daya. The desperate or fallen and the merciful. And so Radharani's prayers to Krishna in separation. And what shall I do in your absence? So this, the Bhavankur, the Premankur of this sort of Krishna Prem came out of Madhavendra Puri at this time. And so necessarily, and this is 2 days before the appearance of Mahaprabhu, his Tirobhav, the disappearance. And why that's given the importance of like Abhibhav, the Tirobhav, because it's the Tirobhav where this came, not before. And sometimes Srila Gurudev was saying in his final time too that he would be expressing some surprise at what was coming to him, meaning internally. His heart was being flooded with supremely high spiritual emotions, but something he would say, why? Why is this coming to me now? And a few times, one time I said, Maharaj, after, I said, because of a lifetime of seva, of your, you know, unconditional offering of yourself at the lotus feet of Guru Maharaj, and neglecting yourself. Now, flood is coming to you at this time. He spoke of it as if it was undeserved or something. But it was undeniable that it was coming to him. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow's the Adibas, and then the next day is Gaur Purnima. So, it's Guru Maharaj, there's Radhastami and Krishnastami, two eights, and he's saying, so two Astamis make a Purnima. So when Radharani's on Astami, Krishna on Astami, he's saying, put them together, Gaur Purnima. Radha, Govinda, Milita, Tanu, the two of them appearing as one. Hare Krishna.